The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace.
Hello, this is Andrew Womack, and we've got a very special program lined up for you today. I've gone back and taken some of my old programs that I made not very long ago, just in the last 6 months or so, but we've had the biggest response to some of these programs that we've ever had. I mean, people are just really getting their lives transformed. And so we decided, rather than just air these programs one time, and I know that there's many of you that don't watch every day, or many of you may be brand new to the program, we hated to just let these great programs go, so we're doing a best of series, and we're going to go back and resurrect some of these old programs, and I believe that they'll be a blessing to you, so open up your heart and get ready to be blessed.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. Today, Andrew teaches about a better way to pray. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am going to begin a brand new series, and it's entitled A Better Way to Pray. And I tell you, this is going to be a blessing to you. It's going to terrify some of you. I've had some of my very good friends just be so totally shocked by this that they actually got up and left the service where I was teaching on this. And eventually they got over it. But I mean, this is going to be a shock to your system. And I want to emphasize a couple of things before I get right into this teaching. And one of the very first points that I want to make is that the very title that I've given this series, entitled A Better Way to Pray, I think really needs to be emphasized. I didn't name this the only way to pray, or you're of the devil if you don't pray this way, or God doesn't love you if you pray any other way. I entitled it A Better Way to Pray because that's what I really believe that this teaching is all about. And I want to make it very clear that everything I will be countering and some of the attitudes that are so prevalent in the church today that I think are doing a lot of damage in this area of prayer, I've done every one of these things that I'll be praying, teaching against. And you know what? During that period of time, I loved God, and God loved me, and God wasn't mad at me, and I got some prayers answered. And I really attribute that to the fact that God is such a gracious, loving God that He really sees our heart, and because of that, God, in a sense, translates or interprets our prayers based on what He knows we're meaning in our heart. And if it wasn't for that, I believe that many of us, the way that we have been taught to pray, the traditional, popular way that is being taught about prayer today, if it wasn't for the graciousness and the mercy of God and Him looking at our heart, I believe that most of us would be a pile of ashes. We are doing some things seriously wrong that if we were living under the old covenant, man, it would have incurred the wrath of God. And so I say all of these things to begin by saying that, you know what? I know that what I'm going to be saying during this series is going to counter a lot of people's theology about prayer. And if you take my things that I'm saying as criticisms and saying that you're of the devil or that God doesn't love you, well, many of you are going to reject the things that I've got to say before I get very far into this. And so I'm just wanting to put this disclaimer on it. I'm not saying that this is the only way to pray or that you're of the devil if you don't pray this way. But based on my own experience as well as my study of the Word of God, I have found a better way to pray. I am getting better results. Again, God used to love me, and I loved God, and I got some results when I used to pray the typical way that is being taught today. And I can't say that it was, you know, totally wrong or of the devil, but there was a lot of wrong attitudes in it. And since I've learned these truths and since I've applied it to my prayer life, I have found a better way to pray. I'm getting better results than I ever have. I also want to put this disclaimer on it and say that, you know what, I don't claim that I've got the full revelation on prayer. I'm not saying that I am the plumb line and that everybody has to revolve around me. I'm still learning. And you know what, in the future, I may find out that there's still a better way to pray than what I'm sharing right here. And so I'm saying all of these things just to kind of soften some of the things that I'm going to say, because I am going to counter I believe probably some of the most foundational, entrenched things that are commonly taught in the Christian realm today. And I am going to be countering so many things that if I didn't say these things right up front, some of you might think that I was actually against prayer. And that's certainly not what I'm doing. But I am going to say this, that I think that the way people are praying today and the attitudes that they are praying with are some of the worst attitudes in the body of Christ. I believe that there are some serious, serious mistakes being made in this area of prayer. And I'm going to be explaining this, and I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you. Luke chapter 11, it says that this was in response to his disciples saying, "Lord, teach us to pray." As we start talking about prayer, I'm going to follow the example of Jesus when Jesus was teaching on prayer. And let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. And the very first thing that Jesus did as he taught about prayer. In Matthew chapter 6 here, this is a part of what we typically call the Sermon on the Mount. And he was just teaching on a number of different things. And he began to teach on the subject of prayer. Over in Luke chapter 11, and we will be using those verses also, it also uses this exact same teaching. It uses these same truths and what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. And yet over in Luke's account of this, Luke chapter 11, it says that this was in response to his disciples saying, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so he taught what was typically called the Lord's Prayer. So anyway, these verses are Jesus teaching on prayer. And he says some radical, radical things. And let me just point this out, that before Jesus taught what prayer was, if you go down to Matthew chapter 6, and beginning with verse 9 is where we get this account of what is typically called the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven," etc. And so that's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. But in verse 5, Jesus started talking about prayer. And the very first thing that Jesus did was to teach what prayer is not and counter some of the wrong attitudes and wrong things about prayer. And so that's the way that Jesus approached this subject. He first of all talked about what prayer was not, and after he had countered misconceptions, then he began to teach about what prayer was. And so I'm going to follow this same model, and the very first thing that I'm going to do as we start talking about a better way to pray is to start talking about some of the misconceptions and wrong teachings about prayer. And I'm going to spend at least a couple of weeks just dealing with some of the abuses of prayer. And some people may disagree with this approach, but again, this is exactly the way that Jesus did it. And I really believe that it's necessary because it's, again, like building a house or something. If your foundation, if some of the very basic things, the things that's going to hold everything else in this building up, if the foundation isn't square or plumb, if it's lopsided or if it's got cracks in it, well, then whatever you build upon that foundation isn't going to have any more strength and stability than the foundation has. And so we've got to make sure that the foundation of our attitudes about prayer are accurate. And I'm just here to tell you right up front that I believe that prayer is probably one of the most unscriptural and unbiblical things going on in the body of Christ today, the way that it is done. There is a right and a wrong way to pray. And this is exactly the approach that Jesus took as he began to start dealing with prayer. Look at his verse, some of his comments here in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. It says, "And when thou prayest," this is Jesus speaking, "thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray." And I'm just going to stop right there. And we're going to go on and we're going to talk about some of these specifics. But man, what a bomb this is. This is just like dropping an absolute bomb that just devastates a number of things. The very introduction Jesus gave to this. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites are, for they, hypocrites, love to pray. What a radical, radical statement. Hypocrites love to pray. They don't just pray. They just don't pray every once in a while. They love to pray. And let me just be straight up with you and tell you that in our church religious system today, hypocrites love to pray. Just because a person loves prayer doesn't mean that they are in right standing with God. It doesn't mean that they're praying the proper way. Now, I would also go as far as to say that people who truly love God also love to pray. But you know what? You can pray with totally the wrong motivation. You can pray not really to God, but you can pray to men. I've certainly heard this, and I bet you that every one of you watching this program have heard somebody get up in church and they start praying one of these prayers where they pray in old English, King James English, "My God, thou, you know, we worship you," and they use all of this English and they change their voice and they go into this thing and they aren't anymore praying to God. They're praying for the sake of the people around them so that they can sound good. I'm telling you that there is a tremendous amount of hypocrisy in prayer. And a lot of that comes from the way that it's been taught in some of these misconceptions. But what a radical start to this. Man, I really love Jesus for what He did to me, but I love the way that He ministered to people. I mean, Jesus would just tell a person the truth. He would be brutally honest with the person, and yet it was done completely in love. It wasn't done to hurt people, but Jesus, when He starts talking about prayer, again, over in Luke chapter 11, His disciples said, "Teach us to pray." And He starts off by saying, "Hypocrites love to pray." I'm sure that that just shocked His disciples. Like, well, no, most people would believe that anybody who prays, man, that is a godly thing. You can't get too much prayer. Prayer is just an awesome, wonderful thing. First of all, you need to recognize that hypocrites love to pray. I'm going to take a break here because this is a brand new series, and this teaching on prayer, I believe, has the potential of just transforming your relationship with God. This is going to hit a lot of areas in your life that need correction. So I'm asking my announcer to share with you some information about how you can receive this teaching, and I've got a brand new book out on this subject. So listen as our announcer gives you that information, and then I'll be right back after this break.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, A Better Way to Pray, is available in book form for a gift of any amount. If you prefer, this teaching is available in a 5-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. The first audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this first teaching free of charge. And now, Gospel Truth continues.
So Jesus, the very first thing that He said about prayer was, He says, beware that you aren't like a hypocrite when you pray, because hypocrites love to pray. And I'm telling you, this needs to be shouted from the rooftops. There's a lot of people today that are bragging about their prayer, talking about how long they pray. And they are using prayer as nothing but a way of soliciting a little pat on the back and receiving acclaim and recognition and all of these kind of things. And so I believe that one thing that we could say here at the very beginning is that if your prayer isn't sincere, if it isn't pure, if you are praying for all of the hypocritical reasons that are so prevalent in the church today, then your prayer is profiting you nothing. And boy, I believe that that needs to be made super clear. There's a lot of people that honestly just believe that you can't go wrong praying. As long as you're praying, then you can't go wrong. Maybe there's some prayer that's more effective than others, but all prayer is good. That is not so. You know what? There are people in other religions that pray to their quote-unquote God, and I am not one of these politically correct persons that believes that just as long as you pray, as long as you believe in some supreme being, some higher power, that everything is okay. Nope, that's not true. John 14:6 says that Jesus was speaking and He said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Me. It isn't true that you can just pray to whatever. You can have whatever. I remember when I was in Vietnam that one of the sergeants there had a rock that he wrote the name God on, and he put that up above his bunk and he worshiped this rock. And you know what? Some people would say, well, it's just as long as you believe in something. No, that's wrong. And you know what? He finally got to where he offended so many people that his guy that roomed with him in that bunker took this rock and threw it off of this mountain. And I mean, it was a steep mountain. That rock was gone. No retrieving it. And this guy got so mad, he threatened to kill him. And right before he pulled the trigger on this Uzi that he had at this guy, he says, "Why are you going to do this?" And he says, "You threw my God away." And the guy said, "Wasn't much of a God, was it?" And I love that. You know what? Some people just think as long as you pray, as long as you believe in some higher power, they look at the benefits of, you know, faith, how it calms you. And there's a lot of this weirdness going on in our society today. And I'm telling you, it's wrong, 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 wrong. If you are praying to Buddha, if you are praying to, you know, I don't know what all of the religions are, but if you are praying to these other people, they are dead and gone. Muhammad is dead and his grave still exists. Buddha is dead. All of these other founders of religions are dead and gone. Our founder of Christianity is alive and well. He is the only true God. And if you are praying, just, you know, thinking that prayer in itself is wonderful, well, then you're missing it. I'm telling you, all prayer is not good. There is a right and a wrong way to pray. And hypocrites, other religions, love to pray. And it might lower your blood pressure in the sense that instead of getting mad and doing something, you're sitting there in a lotus position going om or something like that. And that might help you to some degree in some ways, but I guarantee you it is not going to connect you with God. Instead, it is going to connect you with demonic powers. There is more in the spiritual realm than just God. There are also demons. There are terrible things going on. And there is a right and a wrong way to pray. And if you don't understand that, and if you just think, oh, but it doesn't matter, just as long as I'm praying and however I want to do it, well, then you are sadly mistaken, and you are opening yourself up to serious problems. You know, I'm not saying this based on just some theory someplace. I'm telling you, I've lived this. And again, I've entitled this teaching, A Better Way to Pray. I've learned some things along the way, but did you know I've prayed wrong, and I've prayed in ways that actually released the power of the devil in my life. And I know some of you think, oh, that's not so. The devil couldn't take advantage of you while you're praying. Let me just give you a little testimony. That, you know, there was this girl. This girl was actually my wife's best friend. And at one time, I was dating this girl. And, you know, we had never formally proposed or anything like that. But this girl got sick and died, and I was sent home on an emergency leave from Vietnam because her parents told the Red Cross that we were engaged. It wasn't official, but anyway, that's how they got us home. And we had thought about things like this. But the way all this got started was that I actually went to a Bible conference down in Milldale, Louisiana, and I heard a man teach, and I'm not going to tell you his name, but he preached a message entitled, Satan is God's Messenger Boy. And the thrust of the teaching was that God is the one that puts sickness and disease on you to teach you something, to humble you, to make you a better person. God's the one that causes children to be born deformed. God is sovereign. God does everything. He controls everything. That was the teaching. And as an illustration, in this teaching, this man told about a boy who was so introverted that he was unable to witness the way that he should. And so he just prayed and he says, Lord, I want to be a witness to my football teammates, whatever it takes. If you have to put some incurable disease on me so that I could show them how a Christian faces death, then I pray that you would strike me with a cancer or with something so that I could glorify you. The next day, that boy came down with leukemia. And he dealt with it. He praised God through the process. At his funeral, four of his football buddies got born again because of the witness that he had given. And anyway, that was the teaching that I heard. I bought those tapes. These were reel-to-reel tapes. I brought those home. I gave them to this girl. And I said, man, this was great. You need to listen to this. Did you know she listened to that teaching? She prayed that exact prayer. And says, God, if you have to give me cancer or something like you did this boy, then I'll receive it. The next day, she passed out, was rushed to the hospital, and she had leukemia. And you know what? We tried to believe God for healing. We were going to use it as a testimony. But anyway, she died. I was with her when she died. She strangled on her own blood. She hemorrhaged. We believed God for over 2 hours for her to be raised from the dead. Eventually, at her funeral, you know what? We just glorified God, and we were saying it was God that took her, that this was God's will, which was wrong. I've since come to realize that that was wrong. But you know what? Four people got saved at that funeral. And here's my point in relating this whole story. You know what? The way we were praying an unscriptural prayer. We didn't know the truth that God is not the one who puts sickness and disease on us. We were under religious bondage, and we prayed a prayer that I can guarantee you God didn't answer. God did not give that girl leukemia. God did not kill that girl. Now, God got some glory out of it because she still loved Him and she praised God. And she stood up one time in front of over 4,000 people at one time and talked about how that even though she had this leukemia, that she still loved God and all of these things. And there were people that were born again. But God used it. God will use anything. If we love Him and if we give a witness, God will use that regardless of whether we're right or wrong in some of our assumptions. But you know what? God didn't give her this disease. God did not kill her. It's actually schizophrenic on one hand to pray that God give you cancer, and then when you get it, pray that God heals you of it so that He can get glory out of it. Man, that's crazy. And yet, that's what religion will do to you. And you know what? I'm saying these things that I have learned firsthand, that prayer is a powerful force. But it's like a gun, or it's like an explosive, or it's like anything. There is a right and a wrong way to handle it. And if you just give a kid, you know, a stick of dynamite and say, well, you know, it's just powerful, and you think that it'll only work for good. Well, that stick of dynamite can accomplish good, but it can also accomplish bad. Prayer is powerful, and it can accomplish a lot of good if it's done correctly. But done incorrectly, prayer can kill you. You can pray wrong prayers that open yourself up and that are doing things that Satan will answer your prayers. So I'm saying that, you know what? There is a right and a wrong way to pray. And I really believe that many of us are praying in ways that is causing damage. That's my own personal testimony. I saw a girl killed because of wrong teaching, which I wasn't the author of that teaching, but nonetheless, I fell for it. I passed the teaching along, and I really believe that that is how Satan gained this inroad and was able to kill this girl, a 16, 17-year-old girl. And you know what? That's just not God's will. There is a right and a wrong way to pray. And Jesus, as He started teaching on prayer, the very first point He made is that, you know what? Prayer in itself isn't just therapeutic and all good. There is right and wrong praying, and hypocrites love to pray. Prayer serves the purposes of hypocrites very well. And I don't believe any of us want to be hypocrites. There is a right and wrong way to pray, and there is a better way to pray than what I believe most people are praying today. And I tell you, as we go through this series, I'm going to be saying some things that is going to probably counter every single person who is watching this program or listening to it around the world. I am going to say something that is going to probably challenge some of your belief systems about prayer. But that doesn't mean that what I'm saying is wrong. You know what? We aren't getting the results that we want. I believe every one of us would like better results. If the results aren't any better than what they are, why do we hang on to these things that aren't working so much? I encourage you to just put everything on the table, open your heart, and let God begin to speak to you. And if you'll do that, I believe that this is going to transform your relationship with God. Now, I'm going to continue this on our program tomorrow, and so I encourage you to join me then. And also, please listen as our announcer gives you some information about tapes, CDs, and I also have a brand new book out on this entitled A Better Way to Pray. So please listen and please take advantage of these materials.
Andrew's teaching titled A Better Way to Pray is available in book form for a gift of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Ask for book number T321. If you prefer, A Better Way to Pray is available in a 5-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Request album T1042 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. The first audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this first teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request teaching TY21 titled Hypocrites Love to Pray when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our web address is www.awmi.net. Our mailing address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80934. Or you can call our helpline at 719-635-1111. Remember, you can use your credit card with the helpline or the website. The ministry of Andrew Womack is supported entirely by friends and partners. Whether or not you order today's teaching materials, we want you to know your donations are a vital part of this ministry. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado, October 5th, and in Fort Worth, Texas, November 16th. He'll also be in Buxton, England for the annual AWME Ministers Conference, October 20th through the 22nd, and in Phoenix, Arizona, January 1st through the 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Jamie and I would like to give all of the ministers watching our program a very special invitation to join us for our 25th Ministers Conference. It's going to be held at our facility in Colorado Springs, and I tell you, it is just an awesome time of fellowship and ministry directly from the Lord.
I want to give a special invitation to the wives of the ministers. Whether you're evangelists, missionaries, whatever, we really want the wives to come and enjoy the blessings of the Lord with her husband.
It is not just an informational conference where we give you skills about how to do things. It's inspirational, where we minister to you. Praise and worship is special. I guarantee you it'll be a great time, so make plans to join us the first week of October right at our facility in Colorado Springs for our 25th Ministers Conference.
And we'll see you there.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
If what you're doing isn't working, why is it that you are so adamant about holding on to the concepts that aren't working for you? I'm just asking you to open up your heart just a little bit, to consider that maybe there's a better way to pray, to consider that maybe some of the foundational things that you've been believing about prayer are wrong, and just open up the door just a crack so that if there is something wrong, that we could make a scriptural adjustment here and that it could help us in our prayer life.